Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
If you were hired by a baker, but then were surprised to be baking buns, perhaps you weren't paying attention during the interview. If you're apprenticing to a plumber and then shocked when he asks you to crawl around in some spider-ridden, mucky crawl space, you may not have been thinking clearly about your career choice. And if you were called to follow a savior, but didn't realize that meant helping save others, you may have been asleep during the interview. Following Jesus means helping others follow him too. That's what we're looking at today. I hope you're ready. Welcome to our September series, where really we're taking 4 weeks to explore all about how it is that we help our friends find and follow Jesus. Because we actually want to do that. And we want to do that well. We're heading into the fall with a desire to engage our friends with the greatest news ever, that God came in Jesus to forgive us of our sin, to rescue us from death, and to restore us to full life in him. That is good news, friends. But let me ask you, what's the first step toward helping people find and follow Jesus? Is it learning what to say about Jesus? Or learning how we should say it? Is it reading a certain book or mastering a certain script or memorizing some key scriptures? Is the first step praying for our friends and then hoping for an opportunity to talk about Jesus? Of course, all these things are good, and we're going to talk about some of them today, but none of them is the first step. The first step toward helping people find and follow Jesus is embracing the fact that following Jesus means helping others follow him too. What I mean is this: helping people, helping your friends, helping your family find and follow Jesus is not some extra thing that Jesus would like us to do if we have the time, if we have the inclination, if we have the gifts. Helping people find and follow Jesus, in fact, is central to why he called us to follow him in the first place. Jesus said the reason he came was to seek and save the lost. And what you'll notice is that just as Jesus is seeking and saving the lost, he keeps turning around and sending those same people back out to seek and save more. Helping others find Jesus is just part of the discipleship package. We follow and we fish. Why fish? Well, you had a little key to that when we sang the kids' song this morning, didn't you? Fish is just a metaphor. Fish is a metaphor Jesus used when he called some fishermen to follow him. Well, let's see how that plays out today. We're exploring another one of these early gospel stories where Jesus called a group of young men to follow him. Last week, we looked at a different call story, and it included some of the very same young men, reminding us that Jesus is willing to come multiple times and call people to follow him multiple times, which is good news for some of us who have difficulty hearing. Isn't that true? Well, in last week's look into the Gospel of John, we heard the invitation to come and see Jesus. And we explored how these come and see invitations are so vital to helping people find and follow Jesus. We specifically talked about how a come and see invitation, we are uniquely primed for one right now with the Alpha course coming up in just a few weeks. So how did your come and see invitations go this week? I had one. Went out for coffee. Drank lots of coffee. Swallowed hard a few times and then asked, would you come? Followed up with another person on Facebook that I'd issued an invitation a little while ago on. But I also heard some of you telling me about special invites that you made, coffee dates that you had, conversations that you had inviting others to come and see. How were your come and see invitations this week? We're praying that the Holy Spirit will use those invitations, right? Well, today we're opening the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book in the New Testament. And instead of a come and see invitation, Jesus calls these young men to follow and fish. And the purpose of their calling is front and center. Jesus intends to send his followers out to find more followers. So let's read the story. We're in Matthew chapter 4, again, first book of the New Testament. There's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew's the first. Chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. There's Bibles here you can look at. Not much of it's going to be on the screen. You can even look at your phone if you promise that you only open the YouVersion app. Here it is, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is such a famous story, a story of fishermen becoming fishers of men. If last week's key word was invite, this week's key word is initiate. Let's break it down. Jesus explicitly connects following him with fishing for people here. And that's because at the very start, when Jesus just began to call these few followers to himself, he had an expansive goal in mind. He calls these young men to follow him so they'd learn to fish for others, who would in turn learn to fish for others. When Jesus called these few to follow him, he had in his mind this big, audacious goal of a global, multilingual, multi-generational, down through the ages church in mind. This expanding fellowship of Jesus followers that would go global and go all around the world, that would go through down through the ages, reaching up to now, where we see churches everywhere, God's people everywhere. And this was the clear goal through all four of the Gospels. Let's take a quick sampling. I mean, here in Matthew, we have the follow and fish theme. But over in Mark, that's the next gospel in the New Testament, when Jesus chose his first disciples, he actually explicitly said, he said he chose them that they might be with him and that he might send them out. You see it right at the beginning. If you flip over to the next gospel, the Gospel of Luke, we got a rendering of the same event as here in Matthew, but it's told from a bit of a different angle. But we still have Jesus saying this to Peter. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. And then just to complete the profile, remember when Jesus called the disciples in the Gospel of John, the very first thing they did, it was like it was just inherent within them. They found Jesus and they went and found somebody else to bring to Jesus. And at the end of the story, Jesus says to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Being sent by Jesus to help other people find him is part of the deal of following Jesus. The question I have is, did you know that when you started following Jesus? Or is that the part of the interview you missed? I mean, there's some of us I know, well, probably all of us, didn't really get a full description of what we were signing on for when we said yes to Jesus. Can we admit that? In fact, some of us might have missed a lot of things. And we played a lot of catch up for a lot of years. And some of you might be playing catch up this morning because I'm informing you of something that, frankly, you didn't know. But some of you didn't realize that following Jesus meant giving up leadership of your own life. Which is quite a thing to miss. Don't you agree? Some of you weren't informed that following Jesus always includes hard times. Even significant suffering because you're following Jesus. I mean, yikes. Some of you did not understand how much this was going to cost you. Cost you in friendships, cost you in family, cost you in status, cost you in comfort, cost you in wealth. You didn't know that. In short, you missed the memo about picking up your cross and following Jesus. But you know what else got missed for a lot of people? Many of us started following Jesus without knowing that we had immediately been given a responsibility, a special work, a commissioning to help others follow him too. That we'd actually joined a movement that had at its very center a desire that more people would join it. That this was given to us on day one, whether we knew it or not. And so the very first step to helping friends find and follow Jesus is understanding that it's actually part of following Jesus. Once we've embraced that fact, even if it's information we didn't have at first, even if we don't know what that means and what to do about it, even if it freaks us out, at least now we know. Agreed? Now we know. And now we have the responsibility to figure out how to do the thing that we have been given to do. We've all had those experiences in life where information came a little later than we had hoped. I'm sorry. But we've all had that experience of realizing, well, shucks, I guess I have to do this thing I don't know how to do. Thank God for YouTube. And we pull out YouTube and we watch a few things and we're looking at what we're trying to learn or we're trying to figure out that thing that we need to know because we realize there's no getting around it. We got to do it. We've got to figure it out. So how do we do that? Well, we learn to help others find Jesus by following Jesus himself. Let's get down to square one. You know how as a community we've been working through the Gospel of Luke like forever? Remember that? We're not done. Just so you know, January's coming, and we'll be back into Luke. But you also know how we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke through the lens of apprenticeship. The idea that we as apprentices are learning from the master. We're taking this master class. And so we learn from Jesus from the perspective of, I need to put this into practice. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm an apprentice of his. I'm taking what he's teaching so that I can implement it into my life, so that I can follow him. Well, it's really the same thing here. That's how we learn to help others follow him too, by learning from Jesus, by following Jesus. All fishing flows from following. Let's just get a quick reminder on what that following business means. Following is a pretty overarching term, but it means at least these things. To be a follower of Jesus means that we readily identify as one of his disciples. He is our leader. And we are one of his followers. We're willing to identify. We're willing to call it up. We're willing to say, I follow Jesus. I've been saved by his grace. I placed my faith in him, not because I'm awesome, not because I did something good, but because he's good. He saved me. I identify with him readily. I'm one of his. It also means that we prioritize time with Jesus. That is, Jesus is our friend, and communion with him, enjoying time with Jesus, reflecting on who he is, and speaking to him conversationally as we do with any friend is a privilege in our lives and a delight in our lives. And it's a primary way that Jesus actually forms us in his image. We depend on him for everything and we prioritize time spent with Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. I mean, at the very least, when you look at the life of the disciples in the Gospels, you realize these guys spend a lot of time with Jesus, right? I mean, if you even just think about walking around with a guy for 3 solid years, that's a lot of time spent with. And we know that in the life of saints, in the life of our brothers and sisters, that spending time with Jesus is one of the ways that we are followers of Jesus. The next one is we learn in submission to Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus means we learn in submission to him, that he really is our rabbi, our teacher, and they're always growing in our understanding of his ways and his application of his ways. We're sitting at his feet. We're listening to him. We're reading the Gospels. We're trying to understand who he is and how his understanding of the world and of my life changes the way that I think. We learn in submission to Jesus. We're submitted to him. We're letting him inform us. And, of course, the next one follows promptly on. We promptly obey his teaching. He's not just our teacher. He is our Lord. And while we are not perfect and we're always a work in progress, we're always actively seeking to put into practice what he's teaching us so that our lives, like Jesus himself said at the end of Luke 7, or at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, he said, those who put my teaching into practice are like those who built a house on a solid rock. Even though the shaky times come and the storms come, the house stands because it's built on my teaching. We promptly obey his teaching because he's our Lord. As followers of Jesus, we increasingly mimic his attitude and his actions. Jesus is our, yes, our teacher, yes, our Lord, but he is also our model. And we seek to imitate him in how we think and how we love. All through the summer, this series we did on humility, one of the key phrases in there is that Paul tells us we should have the same mindset in us that Christ Jesus had, so that in our relationships, we're reflecting that same humble attitude, that same mindset that Jesus had in the way that we are living. We are to increasingly mimic his attitude and actions. That's what apprentices do to masters. They look and they watch and they say, oh, that's how he's holding his tool. And I need to change the angle of this. I need to do this a little bit different as they watch their master increasingly mimic his attitude and actions. Also, as followers of Jesus, what it means to follow Jesus is that we willingly love our fellow followers. We recognize that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the members of his body. And like it or not, I'm your brother. Huh? And like it or not, you're my sister. I didn't get to pick you. Some of you I would have picked and some of you I wouldn't. You know that, right? And if some of you had the choice of who was in the building, you'd be the only person left in the building. Because if there was just a couple of you, we just randomly choose 5 of you and say, you pick who gets to come in the building. But there can't be any overlap. Guess what? Well, there'd be no one in the building, actually, because even among the 5, they wouldn't pick at least one of the other ones. I digress. We're called to love each other as fellow brothers and sisters. Doesn't mean we always like each other. Doesn't mean we think each other are cool, because most of us aren't. It means we willingly love our brothers and sisters. We lay down our lives for them. We seek their benefit. We love them. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We're part of the church. He is the head of the church, and we are his people. And then, of course, the last one, which is the one we're drilling down on today, being a follower of Jesus means that we actively proclaim Jesus to others. He really is our Savior. We are his ambassadors. And so making him famous, making his salvation known to all who will come, all who will hear, that is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Everything we say today, as we narrow in on that seventh point, everything we say today is backed up by all the other stuff. That as followers of Jesus, we're learning submission to him, and we're promptly obeying, and we're mimicking his actions and attitudes, and we're loving others. All that stuff, it all follows from that. As we follow Jesus, we learn how to help others follow him too. But we are drilling down on that last point, that followers of Jesus actively proclaim Jesus to others. This proclaim thing is not a word we use in English a lot, proclamation, but it just means making Jesus known. It's an announcement of good news. It's initiating Jesus conversations. And my question is, how do we go about doing that in our everyday lives? So for the rest of our time today, I just want to offer some very practical teaching on just that. And I'll show you how it's displayed in the life of Christ too. Knowing that helping people find and follow Jesus is part of following Jesus, how do we initiate Jesus conversations? First, we initiate Jesus conversations through curious questions. You know, Jesus at that beginning story when those boys were starting to follow him, kind of lurking in the background, and every time Jesus would turn around, they'd stop and whistle and look around like they went. And finally, Jesus says, "What do you want? What do you want?" Other times in the Gospels, Jesus asks these provocative questions. What do you want me to do for you? Why are you here? Curious questions have a way of initiating Jesus conversations. And so I charge you to become a student of your friends' hopes, of your friends' dreams and beliefs and drives. Spend time wondering about your friends. What makes them tick? What gets them up in the morning? Get truly curious about who they are and what's motivating them in life. What do they think? What do they believe? What do they hope for? The more curious you are and the more questions you ask, albeit that can be a little intimidating, so sometimes you back it off a little bit. Sometimes I run into people and I ask them the most basic questions and I feel like I've just violated something. Scott and I were running, I think, I don't know if Scott was running with me or not that day, running with a guy, and it was one of those moments where I thought just asking the guy's name felt like I just crossed some sort of line, let alone, why are you in Creston? What do you do for a living? And it was one of those moments where I realized, we're not going anymore. Tom, just curb your curiosity this morning. So we can let the Holy Spirit guide us in that. But the truth is, with a friend that you're developing friendship with, for the friend that you trust, get curious about them. The more curious you are, the more questions you ask, the more you'll get to know who your friends are, what bothers them, what drives them, what they're thinking about. The more you understand who they are. And in that conversation, the more opportunities you'll have to share about your own drives, your own passions, your own pursuits. You'll have an opportunity to share the reason for the hope that you have. Be genuine in that, of course. Ask these curious questions motivated by love, both so that you can understand your friends, as well as share with them the most significant news they need to hear, which is that Jesus loves them. Ask and listen, and let those open, curious questions prompt further discussions and more conversations. The truth is, the Holy Spirit can use a well-asked question to open up a heart for more. So that's how the first way that we initiate. And I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to just start thinking about your friends, one or two people who are close to you. What is it that drives them? Start asking them those questions. Second, we initiate Jesus conversations through intercessory prayer. You know, Jesus himself said, "Simon, Simon," this is later on in Luke, "Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." The truth is, there are spiritual forces battling for the lives of men and women. And we have to realize that. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you accept that there are spiritual forces hidden from our eyes that we aren't fully aware of, we have to know that there's a lot stacked up against people discovering the good news of who Jesus is. Now, I realize if you're here today and you're not a Christian, not following Jesus, you're thinking, this is weird. I respect that. But even you can admit there's more going on around us than we often realize, right? When you see the crazy things people do, the crazy things people say, the crazy things that are going on around us every day, we can recognize there's something going on here that I can't put my finger on. As followers of Jesus, who are students of the Word, we recognize that there are actually principalities and powers and spiritual forces that are at work to try to keep people from even hearing the good news of Jesus. There are distractions in our lives that keep us from asking the most important questions of life. I had a conversation with one of the young men that I'm discipling this week. We had a real great conversation about what are some of the actual distractions that are keeping people from growing spiritually. I think we can all recognize like one of those distractions, can we? Can we? Can we? Oh, just a second here. But there are others. But to have a kind of to begin to pray about those kinds of distractions, those kinds of things that are pulling people away, active spiritual forces that are seeking to keep people blind to who Jesus is, but also just simple things that stand in the way. We can pray. There's hurts from the past. There's spiritual wounds that people carry. How can I pray for this person that their eyes might be open to hear the good news? How can I pray against evil forces so that I can stand in the gap and do spiritual battle for the souls of men and women that Jesus loves? Because make no mistake about it, that's the battle we're in. Paul himself said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, as tempting as it is to think it is, it's not. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And the way that we do battle through that is in prayer. So much of what keeps people from hearing the gospel, from hearing just a simple conversation about Jesus, it's so much of what is actually preventing them from doing that is hidden from our eyes. We need to pray earnestly for our friends and our family and keep on praying for them because your prayers make a difference in ways you can't even imagine. It could be that this week you put out an invitation to someone to come and see and come and experience by coming to Alpha. You need to know that you need to be praying now and doing battle for them because as you have initiated, as you will be able to initiate further conversations about Jesus, there is a spiritual war that is going on. The Holy Spirit joins you in intercession, and the heavens do battle with you for others. So pray. Third, we initiate Jesus conversations through compassionate care. I love the story when Jesus, the disciples don't know what to do, don't know what to say. They want to just send people away because they're hungry, and Jesus says, you give them something to eat. I love how Jesus challenges us to be the people who are going to care in his name. And in the life of Jesus, in the examples of his followers, we see that Jesus' conversations often flow in and out. Often happens all throughout, but it flow in the context of an experience of care. That people receive healing and they want to know more about Jesus. Or they find out more about Jesus and then they receive healing. Or they receive food or they receive help and they want to know why or who or what's the source of this care that they're receiving. As we love others, people are more ready to hear about Jesus. And so we can ask sincerely, we can have our eyes open as we look around, what's a need in this person's life that I can actually meet or I can help with? Helping others in practical ways as a way of expressing our love for them is not an excuse to not then verbalize anything about Jesus. You understand that. I mean, far too many times we've used compassionate care as a, whew, now I don't have to say anything about Jesus because I just showed them the love of Jesus. Thank God. Right? Have you ever had that? Surely they will see how nice and kind I am and then they'll ask me about Jesus. No. They walked away saying, what a nice, kind person. That's it. Some of us, we take that famous quote from St. Francis. I don't know whether St. Francis actually said this or not, but you know, the preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. Heard that one before? Which is a great backup in terms of like, have a life that backs up what you're saying. That is awesome. But let me just The reason for that quote wasn't to then say to you, words are hardly ever necessary, just so you know. Words are always necessary. We have to actually back up what we're doing with what we're saying. We can't proclaim Jesus without talking about Jesus. And some of us have showed compassionate care to friends for years, but we've never really talked about Jesus much. Why? Why is that? We have to actually initiate Jesus conversations. And my friends, if you were genuinely caring for a friend and have been caring for a friend for a while, yeah, you have the right to say it. Speak up. Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus in your own life. That love and compassion of God for them that you've shown them in practical ways, whether you've just listened to a lonely person, fed the hungry, showed up in tangible ways, that is enough to initiate a Jesus conversation. Fourth, we initiate Jesus conversations through personal testimony. At the end, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus tells this man who'd been healed, who had been radically ravaged by satanic forces, and Jesus heals him, and he's in his right mind, and he wants to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. My friends, your story is incredibly powerful, especially in the life of your friends. And telling people how you came to follow Jesus, telling others how Jesus has made a difference in your life and is making a difference in your life is one of the most significant ways that you can help people find and follow Jesus. And so look for opportunities to tell at least part of your story, sometimes just a line or two, maybe a more fuller story, but I just want you to hear that your story actually matters. In fact, it matters so much that I'm going to actually spend the whole message next week talking about this right here. So more on that to come. Please come back next week now that I've told you that. But for today, let me ask you, have you ever actually jotted down your timeline, your spiritual timeline? Have you ever done that? You can do it on a napkin over coffee. You can take out a simple sheet of paper. But to think through, when did I come to follow Jesus? And what happened here? And what difference did that make? It's actually a powerful exercise. Many of you haven't done it. And I encourage you to do that. Have you ever learned how to tell your personal story of faith? Have you ever gone through the process of actually writing it out? This is hugely beneficial for you. But man, it gives you more confidence when you want to tell somebody else your story as well. And every follower of Jesus, every single follower of Jesus must be able to tell their story. If you haven't, don't feel bad. Now you know. Just do it. Learn. Every follower of Jesus must be able to do this, whether you've been a follower of Jesus since you were a tiny little kid like I was. That's when I came to follow Jesus, or whether you came to Jesus later in life. Every one of us has a story, and it's worth telling. Every single one. And through your story, you can initiate Jesus conversations with others. Your friends care about you. They love you. They want to hear your story. And so open up and tell it. Fifth, we initiate Jesus conversations through intentional witness. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, Jesus himself said. So we ask these curious questions, and we pray and do battle, and we offer compassionate care, and we tell our story. But we also verbally witness to who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Simply put, we actually share the gospel. We tell the good news of how Jesus came to save us from sin and restore us to life and overcome death and to reveal who God is to us. That Jesus, the Son of God, became a human being so that we could be rescued from ourselves, rescued from our own mess. And he did it all because he loved us so much. As we're asking questions, as we're praying, as we're caring, as we're telling our own stories, we can be asking the Holy Spirit, how can I tell this person the good news about you, Jesus, in some simple way that they'll understand? And we learn to do that. That is actually a skill that we can develop. We can learn to speak the truth about Jesus Christ in ways that can even be tailored to the different people that we're talking to. I don't mean by that the story itself ultimately changes, but we're able to emphasize different things. We're able to bring things out in response to questions, in response to stories, in response to situations. We can learn how to speak even one sentence of gospel truth that the Spirit might use later. And this is something we can develop. This is something we can learn. And every one of us needs to know how to explain the good news about Jesus in very simple, accessible ways. Explaining how we've all been hurt by evil and sin, but God has designed us for better and sent Jesus to restore what was broken and lost, to heal what was hurt, to overcome what was keeping us back from his best plan for us. And then how he in turn sent us out to be healing and offering hope in his name. We learn to express the gospel. We learn the good news story of Jesus. And of course, we learn all that as we're following him. My friends, Jesus has called us to follow him and fish for him. And as we take seriously our calling to initiate Jesus' conversations in full dependence on the Holy Spirit, your friends and your family and your neighbors and your workmates, they will hear the good news of Jesus. They will ask further questions. They will be provoked and intrigued by what they hear. And some of them will begin to follow Jesus with you as a result. In just a few weeks, of course, we're launching the Alpha Course. It starts here on Wednesdays on October the 1st at 6:30, and it's going to be running through the fall. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to keep giving those come and see invitations. These will be prime places to initiate Jesus conversations for anyone who's willing to come to Alpha. And keep praying for your friends to come. But beyond that, I'm appealing to all of us, whether you're coming to Alpha, whether you're here for All Father, watching online, that doesn't matter, to remember why we're doing what we're doing. That we've been called to follow and fish, whether it's through the Alpha program or not, doesn't matter. We want to see people, men, women, and children, discover the greatest truth they could ever be told, that there is a God who loves them so much that he sent his one and only Son to live and to die and to live again for them, all so that we could live and not die, all so that we could be restored to life in Jesus. Let's follow and let's go fishing. Let's pray. Jesus, you are the great fisherman. You found us. And we are so grateful. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, by your Spirit, help us be initiating conversations about you. Whatever fears we might have, whatever inhibitions we might have, I pray that we would lay them at your feet. Ask for your courage. Learn skills that we need. But in all these things, simply embrace the fact that following you means helping others follow you too. So Lord Jesus, in all these things, we just ask that you would lead us and guide us. We'd be attentive to you and helpful to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.